Thompson. Kia ora and welcome to Property Matters. On this Labor Weekend Monday, we are chatting to Daniel Norcross, who recently moved to New Zealand from the UK to get his take on the difference. Plus, we are talking with the Cancer Society to help raise awareness for their upcoming events. Remember, you can download all our podcasts from www.barfoot.co.nz/property matters or listen anytime on planetaudio.org.nz. Welcome to Property Matters. Welcome to the show. I'm Stephen Dello. Delighted to have you tuned in on a Labor Day Monday, or perhaps you're listening to our podcast during the week. If so, I hope you've had a fabulous weekend. The sun has certainly been shining in Auckland. Now, each week we have a mix of guests from across the rental and investment landscape, plus some special guests, all there to give you tips and tricks on how to maximise your investment and provide practical advice for tenants and landlords who just need that tricky question answered. It is very much your show, so we encourage you to email us in at any point at propertymatters@barfoot.co.nz or send us a message on our Facebook page and we will get the experts to answer for you in upcoming episodes. Now, because it's Labor Day Monday, we're taking a little bit more of a relaxed episode today and we wanted to help out our friends at the Cancer Society, as like many charities, they've had a challenging year getting their funds together with COVID-19. So I am joined on the line now with Rachel Russell, who is the communications manager from the Cancer Society, and we're going to chat about the amazing work that they're doing. Welcome to the show, Rachel.
Hi, thanks for having me on today.
You are welcome, and I understand you're about to catch a ferry in a beautiful part of New Zealand.
That's right. I'm speaking to you from outside Governor Gray's mansion on Kawa Island, which is a beautiful view. But I do have to get on a ferry at 4:30, so hopefully that ferry doesn't turn up too early.
No pressure. That's okay. That's all right. So tell us a little bit about how 2020 has been for your wonderful organisation.
It's the same as it's been for every organisation, really. Absolutely awful. Having to rethink everything we do. And that meant at the start of the year cancelling really big fundraising events like Relay for Life. Our Daffodil Day Street Collection couldn't go ahead and there's no Walking Stars this year. So COVID has just made us have to absolutely rethink and pivot our fundraising and how we get that vital money in.
Absolutely. Now, you have an event coming up sponsored by Barth & Thompson, so hence your link to this show. And I know you've got other great supporters that help you as well, and it's called Net a Million. What's this one all about?
That's right. So Net a Million is a cricket event, and the beauty of Net a Million is that even should we go back into lockdown level 2 or 3, we can still carry on with this event. And so the idea is that we're challenging Auckland cricketers, young and not so young, to bowl a collective 1 million cricket balls in 1 month. And wow. Auckland Cricket are on board with this too, so some of those Auckland Aces and Hearts players will be signing up. But we're also, you know, getting junior cricketers on board. I've signed up and I haven't played cricket since I was 16. We just want all of Auckland's cricketers to get behind trying to bowl a collective 1 million balls in the month of November.
Fantastic. And we'll find out shortly where we can head to get all the information on your events and sponsorship. But what else have you got coming up between now and the end of the year?
Yes, well, because, you know, as I said, fundraising the normal way doesn't work, you know, is tricky. Any kind of group event is tricky. So we do have another sporting event called Longest Day Golf Challenge. We did this for the first time last year and it was a big success, and it's challenging golfers to play 4 rounds of golf in 1 day. So that's 72 holes of golf in a day. That is actually like literally walking a marathon. So last year we did this in Auckland and very generous golfers raised an incredible 120K for us. This year it's nationwide. So both these events are a new way of raising money that doesn't rely on gathering large groups of people together. You can do it in your own time. Still get out and get fit, and yes, hopefully this is the future of fundraising for us.
That's great, because I've personally been a part of your Relay for Life for many years, and I know how special that event is, and I'm guessing Relay for Life, Daffodil Day, all impacted by COVID-19 this year?
Yes, Relay for Life was particularly heartbreaking because we were supposed to have it that the weekend that we went into that first lockdown, and you know, you just put so much effort into creating this special event. The kids love it. You know, it's a rite of passage for a lot of school kids. To have to pull the plug on that was just, yeah, quite devastating. And then lockdown number two happens and we had to pull the plug on the street collection. So, yeah, that's just reality though, isn't it? We're not the only people affected by COVID. It's just, you know.
You're not, but I guess it would be good for guests then to listening to understand where your funds go that are raised from these events and what services your organisation offers.
Yes, well, I think a lot of people don't actually realise just how practical the services are at the Cancer Society. We're based at Domain Lodge next to the hospital, where we house up to 50 cancer patients and their families at any one time who live too far away from Auckland Hospital to travel to their treatment. So many come from Northland or Tauranga to stay with us. And as you can imagine, because we're catching up with cancer diagnoses from COVID, we're actually at capacity every single week now. Wow. And we also have nurses who go and visit people in their home, make sure they understand their treatment and understand what's happening to them and how to keep themselves well. And drivers, obviously, you might have seen that ad, the volunteer driver ad.
Yeah, it's a lovely ad.
Yeah, which was very popular. Well, our volunteer drivers are incredible, and they kept working through COVID, the ones that could, the ones that weren't having to lock themselves down in their own homes. And so, yeah, we have really practical services and a lot of demand on them at the moment because cancer did not stop.
No, no, the world kept ticking. And your Domain Lodge is a fantastic facility. I mean, it literally is a home away from home, a hotel space, but with lovely combined kitchen and living areas so people can also have some support and bring their family in and talk to other people.
Yeah, that's right. A lot of people, when they turn up, think that they're going to be staying somewhere with like a hospital environment, and they're quite relieved to find that it's more like being at a hotel.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are nice spaces, nice gardens, and, you know, God, having a cancer treatment is just awful enough. You don't want to have to be worrying about where you're staying at the same time.
Absolutely. So how can our listeners support you? Before you jump on that ferry, how do people get in touch and support the events coming up or find out about wonderful things like the Net A Million?
Yes, well, if you're into cricket and you're listening to this, just Google Net A Million Cricket, and that should bring you to our homepage where you'll get all the details, and you'll see the tracker that will track all the balls being bowled through the month of November. And likewise, just Google Longest Day Golf Challenge, and that should bring you to our website. Or you can just go to just Google Cancer Society, and that will take you to our main homepage. So if you're into cricket or golf, we've got two great events for you, basically.
Absolutely, and if you're not, there's still a lovely clear way to donate off your page, so head to the Cancer Society's website and support them in this tough year. Well, Rachel, great chatting to you. I'm conscious you need to jump on a ferry, you lucky thing, and thank you. We wish you well with the events coming up over the next few months. Stay in touch so we can keep plugging it to all our wonderful supporters of Property Matters.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me on your show.
All right, no worries. Get home safely.
Thank you. Bye.
And that was Rachel from the Cancer Society doing fantastic work, and Buff and Thompson very proud to be our new supporters of many of the things that they have happening in their world. And now back here in the studio, I am joined on a public holiday, a bit rough bringing him in, but the wonderful Daniel Norcross, who is property manager at Barfoot and Thompson, Tiantatu. Welcome to the show, Daniel.
Hi, good afternoon.
Great to have you here. Now, tell us a little bit about yourself and your journey that led you here to New Zealand.
So, I started property in the UK about 4 years ago, where then I met my fantastic partner in the big city of London, and then decided that he wanted to join his family. That has been here for 13 years, so we decided that it's time to start a new adventure, really, for both of us. And we decided last October that we were going to make the big move, and we finally did just before the COVID happened.
So timing was nice and close for you, so that was good. What do you love about New Zealand so far?
Well,
other than obviously all your lovely family that you've got here now.
It's nice to see green, you know, in such a beautiful place, beaches, and the people. The people are fantastic. And yes, being in London is the most vibrant city to be in, but also it can be very lonely at times, especially when you're on your own and your family are down south. So, yeah, it's just absolutely fantastic. We've managed to see quite a bit in such a very short period of time, either side the lockdowns that we've had. So, yeah.
That's great. So you must love property management to do it in one part of the world and then go, okay, I'm going to come to a new country, learn the new legislation, learn all the new rules whilst dealing with moving house. What do you love about it so much?
It's great. I am very much a people person, and I love the interaction and in helping people out and in finding them their forever rental home. And yeah, so it was something that I've always wanted to, well, I was interested in the UK and decided that it was time for a career change. Did that in the UK and went to real estate in London. And yeah, so working with the people and coming across every day is a new day. And that's a big thing for me, because you can get bored very easily.
Yeah, you certainly can't. Yeah. I love that you just said, I love finding people their forever rental home. And I guess, you know, some people rent for a short little while between things, some when they first come out of, say, uni, but there is a lot of us, I'm one of them, that is literally a full-time renter, and that's just the life I've chosen. The money is spent on travel and other things. I loved how you said that, you know, finding people their forever rental home. Do you find more people here are doing that? You know, it is, that's their life choice?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, compared to the UK, London was a city very much like Auckland, had a lot of international people coming over for work commitments or just wanted to try the country out. And in London, we certainly had the same. And so there was always a 12-month, 24 or 36-month tenancy length, and then they would then move on to next things.
Right.
Over here, you've got a lot more families and people that want to come over here for good, and they may, you know, with visas, they might have the first 12 months, but then we got some people still in properties after 9 years.
Yeah.
You know, so, yes.
Which is perfect for a good owner who looks after their property, can actually find a really good tenant and look after them. It becomes a really relationship, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what's so good about, you know, us as property managers is looking after that property for the landlord and you know, making sure that we have the right tenants in and you know, we can say that we do have the right tenants in our properties.
Yeah. So tell us, what are some of the different requirements before a tenant moves in here in New Zealand versus the UK? What have you found different?
So I suppose the healthy homes, you know, is a big thing now in New Zealand, and it's something that we have to comply against. And I would say that here in New Zealand, there's a little bit of less requirements to move in. Obviously, the reference checks and making sure that we've done the right background checks on our tenants, which is same as the UK. And here, obviously, landlord insurances. And soon after the 1st of December, Healthy Homes, you know, the 13A statement. But also in the UK, we have a lot of gas properties in the UK, and it comes from off the street, not gas bottles. And the requirement for in the UK is to have a gas safety certificate every 12 months. And if it runs out an expiry of maybe 2 months before a new tenancy is about to start, we have to then make sure that we have that renewed as well for when they used to move in. An EPC was a requirement that we had, and that was a new legislation that came in 2019 in the UK, where it's called an energy performance certificate, and it's very similar to the Healthy Homes, and it does measure the similarities of the Healthy Homes requirements here. And if they were under a certain level, it was from A to G. If it was F and G, then we would have to have those works done straight away. Carbon monoxide was a big thing for the UK, which is an additional to, you know, what we don't have that here in New Zealand. It's a smoke alarm.
Yeah.
Sure, that's right. But it was a carbon monoxide smoke alarms for that. So, you know, there was a lot more work, I would say, on the UK side to make sure that it was compliant and they could not move in. until we had that, and we had to then supply those certificates to the tenants on move-in, and that was a right. mandatory requirement.
So here we have Healthy Homes, but back home you had the HMO. What's the HMO?
Oh, yeah, so a HMO is a house in multiple occupancy licence.
Wow.
So, this year, before I left the UK was a big thing because the legislation again changed, especially in London. And basically it is at least three people who are not formed of one household, i.e. family, but share facilities like a bathroom and a kitchen. And if that was the case, then you would have to have a HMO licence that would last for about 5 years. And this licence, on the back end of that, there was another one called a mandatory, was this one, additional and a select licence in. And it depends on what borough in London is whether what licence that you needed to get. And it was pretty tricky to say because councils were bringing them out and made it a requirement, and the fines were quite big in the UK, a minimum of £30,000. So that's like equivalent to $60,000 over here. So what we had to do is we had to make sure that we were all completely compliant through, and we had 20,000 tenancies at the time. We had to go through step by step and make sure the tenants are in situ if we needed an additional licence.
Wow. So a lot easier here too, having one council governing the area, one government.
Yeah, absolutely.
With all our legislation.
Yeah, and a big thing was as well is that the council implemented these rules but didn't have the manpower in their own council to actually supply the rulings and the licensing at the time. So it was a bit of a free-fall at one stage, but still they were giving us the fines if we weren't compliant.
Yeah. So were there other things that you found different between the two countries? You mentioned pre-show things like fees are different.
Yeah. So the company that I worked for was very similar to the Barfoot company, actually. It was a family-run business and on a similar scale. And it was the lead in the stage in London, in the same as us here. And it was, did 11% was our minimum fee over there, and that was just for a rent collection. And then we had to pay additional check-in and check-out and an inventory for every new tenancy and end of the old tenancy that happened. We would have a 16% managed fee, and then we would have a premier managed fee, which is 18%. And then that there included the gas safety, the carbon monoxide checks, and also the new requirements that they've just got, which is the EICR test, which is the Electrical Installation Consultant Report.
Say that three times after a glass of wine.
Yeah, and so this year is basically a new report, and, it hit the UK big because it was a lot of period houses out there, so they have to have this requirement now to go through, so that was included as well, that test in the premier managed side.
Wow. And 16-18% versus 8.5 here in New Zealand, that's quite a shift. So landlords, you're getting a good deal here in New Zealand. Now New Zealand's changing the 90-day notice rule. Has this changed in the UK as well?
So it's in the UK, it's called Section 21, and this is a 21-day notice period. This here is something that they're trying to change, actually, in trying to take it from the Residential Tenancy Act over there. But unfortunately, they haven't got to that stage yet. However, just due to COVID restrictions in things that we have to give, landlords over in the UK have to give 6 months notice period, which is quite a long time because sometimes you would have a short-term tenancy in London, might only be 8 months. So 2 months in, there's a notice period being served now.
Wow.
So it's a six-month period.
And because that's a big difference, isn't it? I mean, we have a mixture here in New Zealand of fixed terms and periodic, meaning that, you're not locked into an end date.
Mm-hmm.
But in the UK, everything's fixed.
Yes, everything's fixed. Minimum,
so you really have to choose your place right, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a minimum of 12 months that we would do. And then if it was anything lower than that, we would then usually put it to the short lets department that we had in the company at the time. But majority of the time it was 24 to 36 months that we would do on a tenancy for people.
So on a personal side, when you chat to your family and colleagues back home, how are they faring in this COVID-19 year? Because they've certainly had it a lot tougher than us.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, UK now have got this tiered COVID restrictions that's happening. But I think one thing that we are lucky over here, and I think they're very jealous and envy of us over here, is that we've had such a strict guideline, and we've had great guidelines from the host from start, really. I think some people in the UK...
And we've adhered to it, pretty much.
Yes, absolutely, and that's why we're in the position that we are now. I think, the UK, there's a lot of people that are not actually following the guidelines. The borders are still open. People are still going overseas, coming back, and not knowing that they are. They have the COVID-19 until 5 days later, and they've infected half of their city or town that they're in. So family are worried, to say the least. I think anyone in the UK are a bit worried, but they're coping, and that's the main thing.
They're not waiting to come out and crash at your place?
Well, they are. They certainly are.
That's brilliant. Look, we're going to take a short music break and carry on with the conversation very shortly. And last week I put out a request to our listeners to send us your requests for songs about houses or homes. And we had a lovely message in from Ash Singh, who wanted The House of the Rising Sun sung by The Animals. So, Ash, just for you, here it is. Enjoy.
One.
Voice of the Rising Sun, sung by the Animals, an oldie but a goodie. Thank you, Ash Singh, for sending that request in. If you would like to send us a request or a question to be answered on the show, email us at propertymatters@barfoot.co.nz. The songs need to feature a keyword about property like home or house, or be a local artist wanting to promote your own music. We'd love to support you that way too. So if you're a local artist here in Auckland or Northland, send us your music and we'll play it for you. And if you've got a question, we send it on to the experts to answer, and just email us at propertymatters@barfoot.co.nz. You can also find us online where you can look at our podcasts, which will list what topics we've covered each week. So you can check them out at barfoot.co.nz. Now, we did get a question this week from our lovely listener, Richinda, who wants to know. She says, "Hi, Stephen. I've noticed some of the ground moisture barriers are being torn when tenants store items under the house. Will property managers be checking that the barriers are not damaged during the tenancy and at the end of the tenancy, and who is responsible for the repairs when they are torn? Thanks, Richinda." Well, thank you, Richinda. It's great to know that people are sending us questions. There is a little bit of a grey area around this, because obviously it'll be next year that any of this legislation will be tested, but certainly my understanding from discussions with some property managers this week is they'll be taking very good photos at an entry inspection of what that area looks like. We'll be encouraging tenants not to put anything under there. In fact, many will probably lock that space away, so gone are the days where we can store a whole lot of things. And then, of course, if you are and it's damaged by an item, then it's all showing in the photos. Yes, the tenants will have some responsibility there, but fair wear and tear, I mean, animals can get under there as well and tear it up. So it is a little bit of a grey area. Daniel, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're 100% correct there, Stephen. I certainly would be saying even more of a reason to have a property manager manage your property. Yeah. to identify this. Fair wear and tear, again, you know, we have to take that into consideration. But the mainly is, if there's access there and there is a moisture barrier there, let's just keep it locked. Let's not make any access for tenants to store anything, or even landlords that's got stuff in there that's from many years back that like to store stuff. We need to clear the area and make sure that the moisture barrier is doing its job, really, in protecting that moisture and not having any rips.
And it comes back, a few weeks ago we talked a lot about the importance of the entry inspection photo. Mm. So it comes back to getting really good photos, Richinda, so that you've documented what it's like when you hand it over.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I know certainly my team, minimum of 250 photos per entry inspection, you know, and that's a minimum requirement. That's usually on a studio or a one bedroom, you know. So, you know, it's a case of putting it back to us and making sure that we do our job right, and that's by taking those photos and keeping an eye on it.
Absolutely. I hope we've answered your question, Richinda. Keep them coming if we haven't. And once these rules come into effect, if we find out anything different, we'll certainly be keeping everyone up to date, as we will be with the government change. Obviously, the Minister, Chris Farfoy, just a few weeks out from the election, saying that he will look at some sort of regulation or tightening of the industry, which we think is a good thing. And we'll be keeping you posted on any changes that come up there. Speaking of sort of changes in education, Daniel, you had quite a bit to do with the education side back in the UK, didn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. So a part of my career in the industry was to work in the coaching development team for the Dexters, who I used to work for. The junior estate agency standards actually got released back in 2019, where they actually got redeveloped. And it was my job to convert our in-house and the culture training material that we had into the standards for the junior estate agency, to create more jobs, to create bigger and better opportunities for the younger generation and the new up-and-coming generation for you know, real estate in London. And it was a fantastic opportunity, actually, because from a business point of view, it was fantastic, because we were generating fabulous new people. And then, you know, for people out there that were struggling and wanted to get into the industry but didn't have any experience, had that 12 months experience on the apprenticeship.
Great. What advice would you have for landlords here in New Zealand?
Go and see your local property expert in your area, and you know, have a chat with them. You know, it costs nothing, you know, and see what they can offer you. It's definitely the right way forward, because we're the experts. We're the local property experts of the area of New Zealand, and we follow the guidelines constantly, and with fantastic training that we get on a day-to-day basis. You know, it's definitely something. Get your property managed by a property expert.
It's their insurance policy, really, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, you talk about the education, it's your job. So you're constantly, I imagine, even more so coming from the UK, having to keep yourself upskilled and trained.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, legislation around the world is very similar, but there's also a lot of differences. And I think, you know, and that's been the biggest challenge for me this year, is to make sure that I translate my knowledge from the UK over here, but keeping it within the guidelines and the legislation. Brilliant. Requirements.
I saw you last week at the Real Estate Institute's conference. So again, that was a full day of learning and upskilling, and also motivating in this tough time.
Absolutely. It was something that you don't really get that much of an opportunity in the UK. And it was certainly come away buzzing and ready to go.
Nice. Now, on a personal front, am I correct that you have a bit of a passion for theatre?
I certainly do. So I was a professional dancer, started at the young age of 8, competed internationally and locally, and then trained as a professional at the age of 16 in hit the stage across the world. Not going to brag, but you know, winning the world championships in 2012,
wow.
You know, was definitely a highlight of my career and life. But now it was time that, you know, before I had a hip replacement or a knee replacement, to you know, in just to continue it as a hobby.
Okay, so you're going to keep doing that here?
Absolutely.
Great way to make new friends here in New Zealand.
Yeah, absolutely. Got some exciting stuff coming ahead.
Brilliant.
Soon to be announced.
Ooh, exciting. A dancing property manager. I've got this vision now of Daniel leaping through a teatro to his next inspection with a few high kicks. So how have you found your first year here in New Zealand, given it's been the lockdowns and all of that, and you've settled in? How have you coped?
I've coped better than what I actually thought. It's been amazing. But I think, you know, with my family, well, my in-laws and my future in-laws support and the friends that I inherited from, you know, the brother-in-laws and sister-in-laws that I have, and my partner, it's been definitely a very easy ride. And lockdown was great for us. We bonded as a family, and it was a great thing that we needed, I think, personally for myself. I've not struggled too much, really. You know, miss my family back at home like anyone, and you know, in when things go on in your personal life with personal family situations, but
it's a long way away.
FaceTime and you know, WhatsApp's got a good thing for us.
Yeah, you mentioned earlier that the company that you worked with in the UK was family based, similar to Barfoot and Thompson. What have you enjoyed, I guess, transitioning over to here with a company like this?
I just like the fact that it's come from a one person, you know, or a family, and the transition has been quite, it's just been a mirror effect, I think, from across the pond. You know, it's been fantastic. I've enjoyed it, and I like the fact that it's not a corporate organisation, which a lot of people do think that we are. And yeah, that's the best thing.
It is a family run business.
Yeah, and everyone's friendly and everyone's there, and you can just reach out and you've got instant help. And I think that's the key format, really, for a independent family run business, is it's always happy to help.
Nice. So goals for 2021 for you and your branch and your team?
Yeah, we got some big goals. We got some, you know, I like to set the bar high, and we certainly, I've got a fantastic team that's going to hopefully do it. We've got a target to hit for new property, new management's coming on. You know, we like to think that we've got 45 by the this time next year, which I think is very doable in the current market over there. And to just really take it to the next level. I think, you know, Tiara 2 is a very hidden west little village, as people like to call it, and there's lots to make sure we get a bit of a bigger profile.
Cool. So throw you a curveball question here. If I was a brand new investor and I walked into your branch and I'm looking to purchase in Te Aroha, what sort of house suits your market? What sort of queries are you getting? Am I buying a three-bedroom brick and tile, or am I going for something four or five for the big families? What do you suggest as an investor heading your way?
Te Aroha itself is quite a family area and community that we have over there. So if I say, if you're going to get a two-bed, it might be a little bit harder to, rent out. But I would say, your three-bed plus. The type of property, people are not really too much about that. They just want that healthy home, which is great for us with the new healthy home legislation.
Okay. And if I chose to manage it myself, mm-hmm. which I know you're going to say is the absolute wrong thing to do, what are the pitfalls I should be looking for?
I would say don't manage it yourself if you haven't got the knowledge or if you haven't got
exactly,
the experience from doing it.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of pitfalls that could get you into a lot of trouble, and you might cut corners that you think that you're saving money on, but in the long run you'll be spending a lot more money out of it.
Mm.
So I would say get yourself over to me, let me manage your property and show you how it's done.
Brilliant. What do your team bring that's a little different from anyone else?
We're young, and we've come from a family atmosphere. Our background, we've got big families ourselves, all three of our team members, and I think that's the key thing, is that we're there and we see the landlord's responsibilities and manage to do it in an efficient time and save a lot of stress.
Absolutely, save a lot of stress. That answers the first question. What are the pitfalls?
Yeah.
You're going to have so much stress, you need
yeah,
to save
absolutely.
That. How do you relax at the end of a busy day as a property manager?
I've got a lot of, social things that I do, one being just to do a flower course at the moment.
Okay.
So I'm enjoying that, just to make some flowers and, the odd arrangement now and then for the house. And obviously I've got my big wedding coming up, so.
So big plans for that.
Yes,
when does that
absolutely.
Take place?
23, to get the COVID out of the way, get the family over.
Oh, of course.
So, we need to make sure that we give enough time.
Absolutely. Fantastic talking to you today, and really appreciate you coming in
yeah.
on a long weekend to chat. If anyone wants to get in touch with Daniel, he's at Barfoot and Thompson, Te Aroha. You can flick us an email. We'll send you all his contact details. We are propertymatters@barfoot.co.nz. And a reminder to support the Cancer Society. Check them out online. They've got their Net a Million event coming up soon for November, which they need your support. And you can also donate to them on there as well. We would love to get more questions from you and find out what you need us to cover. So send us that email, propertymatters@barfoot.co.nz. We want to make this your show. Ash sent us his song request. Don't be afraid to send yours in. In upcoming weeks, we've got the auctions team coming in to talk all about how they are doing auctions these days in this post-COVID world. And we will also be talking to Bindi Norwell, Chief Executive of the Real Estate Institute, in a couple of weeks' time. Check out all our podcasts at www.barfoot.co.nz/propertymatters, and you can listen anytime at planetaudio.org.nz. Thanks, Daniel, for being a fantastic guest. We'll look forward to hearing how the rest of your year goes.
Yep.
Everyone else, enjoy the rest of your Labour weekend Monday. The sun is shining. It's time for a wine. Catch you later.